Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. We continue our spin around the world of college football. Please be joined today by the head coach of Lewis and Clark College, Joe Bushman. Coach, how are you today?
I'm great, Terrence. I appreciate you having me on.
Now, as someone who grew up in the Pacific Northwest, what is the one misconception that people have about football in that area of the country?
I thought you were going to ask me about the weather, but then that is a little misconception too. It actually does get pretty warm, but I think maybe the misconception is that people don't care about football, and maybe it's not to the extent that you see in other parts of the country, where I think the majority of fans and everybody seems to be in it to it for the most part. I think in the Pacific Northwest, you don't have as many football fans, but the ones that are is just as passionate as anywhere else, if that makes any sense.
It is. Now, when did you know that football would be your path in life?
That's a great question. So, I grew up in North Portland, which was a pretty rough neighborhood as far as Portland goes, and I played two sports when I was a kid, basketball and baseball, and I always wanted to play football. And my parents wouldn't let me. I was a pretty skinny kid, and finally in seventh grade, my local boys club, they were the Raiders, by the way. Columbia Boys Club Raiders. My two friends said, "Hey, we need a quarterback." And I was a shortstop in baseball, as a point guard in basketball. They're like, "We think you'd be a really good quarterback." And I always wanted to play, but went to my parents. They said no, and I said okay. I waited, and they went to work, and I waited till they went to work, and then I went to football tryouts. And 1 week later, my mom found a helmet in my room, and I go, "Mom, I'm playing." In seventh grade, it's time to go. So, I just fell in love with it from there on. I just don't think there's any game where you'd get to form as strong a brotherhood and work towards a common goal and work through tough times together. There's just something, special about that to me. And when I got to high school, I got a coach who I wasn't necessarily the best, athlete or even maybe the best quarterback on the team, but this guy just really believed in me. And I just remember kind of having that feeling like, if I can do this for other people, what this guy has done for me, that's going to be some good work. That's going to be some good life work. So, that's my roundabout answer.
When you now you said you played basketball too. Do you think right now, if there were a hoop in your driveway, a hoop in the driveway, wherever you are, somebody has a ball, could you still give us a bucket, coach?
Yeah, I could still get down a little bit. Now, I don't think I can touch the rim anymore. Learned that
Now.
about 5 years ago. I was coaching my daughter's basketball team, and one of the girls shot the ball, and it got wedged, right of the rim. And I'm like, "Oh shit, it's no problem. I'll just jump up there and get it." I didn't get there, Terrence. I didn't get there in front of a crowd of like 200 people. So I definitely won't try to touch the rim, but I could still probably make some shots.
That's the most important thing. Now, you went to Willamette. You were team captain, also an academic All-American. How have you managed to take the ability to blend academics and athletics in your own college career and be able to implement that at Lewis and Clark?
Well, that's a great question. I was a kid that had to work really hard to get the grades that I got. And so I always felt like I was a very good student, because I knew how to ask questions. I knew how to form relationships with professors. I knew how to study. I knew how to take notes. I learned how to be organized and manage my time. So, it didn't just come easy to me with the intellect. So I felt like I'm always able to be a pretty solid mentor academically for kids, especially at a school like a Willamette or a Lewis and Clark, where it's tough. Those kids come in their freshman year, and some of them come from really strong academic backgrounds, but a lot of our kids don't. So they need you know, people like me and some of our other coaches to really kind of walk them through that first year and get some good steady habits established.
When did you know that coaching would be for you?
I was planning on going to medical school, and about my junior year in college, I got tasked with being like, I was like a teacher's assistant for my biology professor and also my anatomy and physiology professor. And I started to tutor kids, and I just got such a rise out of working with people and helping people. And at that point I was like, you know what? I didn't want to go to school for another 4+ years. And I loved football. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pivot here, and I'm going to be a teacher and a coach, because that's really what motivates me. You know, it's what I'm passionate about. And, so I just kind of took off from there. So I guess probably when I was, you know, my junior, senior year of college, that's when I decided. And I started, actually, I was a assistant coach at Willamette for Dan Hawkins, who's now down at UC Davis, and Bob Gregory, who's at Stanford now. And God, those guys were just great mentors for me. And I kind of got in a hurry to make money. So I got out of the college coaching and I went right into high school teaching and coaching, and I've had a great run, you know, 20 years of doing that. But if I was a little smarter, I probably would have just stayed with Dan and Bob, and who knows where I'd maybe be right now. But I'm happy and I feel very blessed to have spent 20 years as a high school teacher and coach, and now, you know, get the opportunity to get back into college. So I took about a 20-year hiatus, I guess you could say, but here I am.
What was the transition like going from player to coach, and how long did you keep the cleats in the car for?
That's a good question. It really wasn't that hard for me, because I always really enjoyed the thinking aspect of football, and so I knew I couldn't play any more, and I'm a super competitive guy. So it just kind of helped fill the void for me. I wasn't that guy who kind of held on, you know, to the playing. I transitioned pretty easily right into the coaching world.
Now, which subject in high school did you teach?
Well, I started as a biology teacher and anatomy and physiology. And when I was an assistant coach at David Douglas and Glencoe, I did that. So I did that for 4 years. And then I got my first high school job at Central Catholic when I was 26 years old. And one of the conditions I said is I don't want to teach a lab science anymore. I want to teach health, and I want to be involved in the strength training program. And so at that point, that's the area I jumped into. And that's pretty much what I did for the next 20 years.
How difficult was it to be able to teach students like a Punnett square, or be a teaching between dominant and recessive genes as far as biology?
I don't remember a lot of that stuff. I do remember the dominant and recessive genes. I actually really enjoyed genetics. That was a fun part for me. But, you know, to me, teaching and coaching is really one the same. You know, it's about making connections and figuring out the learning style of your learner and what motivates them. You know, I think if you bring a lot of passion about what you're teaching or coaching, it tends to rub off on the kids. So whether you're teaching about genetics or you're teaching about a 3-step drop, you know, it's the same.
When you accepted the job, what was the first thing that crossed your mind, and how'd you celebrate?
Well, I was blessed that Coach Losey took a chance on me. And so the first thing that went through my head was, I've got a big learning curve here. In the first week, I realized I felt like I was a little in over my skis at times with the recruiting, and the number of hours, you know, that a college coach puts in. Not that I didn't put in a lot of time in high school. I really like to work. That's all I really like to do, and play golf. So, but it was a little bit of a shock to the system, the hours and just the time on the road. And the thing I did to celebrate, I went to my favorite restaurant in Portland, which is Jake's Famous Crawfish.
Now, how
I
big of a
liked it, Terrence. I liked it so much that me and my wife named our son after the restaurant.
say, how big of a plate do you normally have when you're at Jake's?
You know what? Me and my wife always share a meal.
Oh.
So not too big of a plate. Now I probably had a couple glasses of wine too, so that helped fill me up. But yeah, we're not huge eaters. We usually spring for a nicer meal, but we split it because we're trying to stay somewhat in shape.
There you go. Now, when we come back from break, I want to talk more about your philosophy and more about your approach as far as taking the helm of the pioneers. But that's after break. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with your podcast. Terrence Biggs, Joe Bushman, head coach of Lewis and Clark College Coach. We all know when recruiting players, strength, size, speed, all the measurables are what schools desire. However, intangibles, I think, are what makes programs great. What intangibles, when you're looking at a player, are non-negotiable? The player must have this quality.
Well, I obviously at our place they have to be excellent students just to get into the school, right? So high academics would be one. And I think also somebody of high character, somebody who's going to be a good teammate, a good locker room guy. I think that's imperative to win a championship, is you got to surround yourself with a bunch of good men that want to not just be about themselves, but want to be about others. And, just some staples. We really like kids who want to work hard. They want to be blue collar kids. I mean, we're kind of a white collar school, but we've got that. We're trying to develop that blue collar dirt dog mentality. So I always look for that. And then just kids who are fun and have a positive attitude and want to come and win. I think it helps if you come from a winning culture too, so those are some things we look for.
What was it like to coach your son?
It was fantastic. I wouldn't I've been so blessed, and to get to coach him in youth football, high school football, and college football. I mean, the poor kid's been stuck with me for 12 years plus. It's really a rarity. But me and Jake had a special relationship, and it was one where, I was coaching offense all the time, and he was a linebacker, so I never was really like his direct coach. And I think that can be hard. I think a lot of times you run into problems if you're the quarterback coach and your kid's the quarterback. That was never the case. There were times during practice where we really wouldn't even interact, but what was great is I was able to hire some really good guys on defense, both in high school and college, and even going back to youth football, that were just great mentors for him. And that's, to me, that's one of the great things about being a parent. There comes a point where they stop listening to you a little bit, but if you have other strong role models around them who you trust that are going to kind of get across the same message that you're trying to get across, I think that really helps. And I was able to have those guys always on my staff to help mentor Jake when I necessarily when I when it, when I so I wouldn't have to overdo it,
When you're not on the field, when you're not recruiting or in the office, how do you get away from the game?
I play a lot of golf. I've really become an addict since COVID. So if I get some free time, I'll play once or twice a week. And then I like to work out. I like to run. I like to lift weights. And that's really about it, So some physical type things like that.
What was the best round you shot?
That's a great question, Terrence. I was just the other day. I shot a 74. I was two over par, and I just had a lot of putts go in. You know, I didn't necessarily strike it that well, but once that putter gets heated up, it's a big help. So that's something I've really worked on because prior to COVID, I was really a pretty crappy golfer. You know, I liked it, but I had some flaws in my swing, and you know, the season got canceled, and I'm like looking around going, what am I going to do here? You know, I need something to fill that competitive void. And so I went and got a couple of golf lessons and had a really good teacher who showed me where, you know, where I was wrong. I was kind of wrong up at the top of my swing. And boy, I tell you, I just worked on it and worked on it. So that's been fun for me to kind of have a midlife project, you know, away from football.
Now, you mentioned how you're a big fan of crawfish and your place, Jake's Crawfish. What is the second best place in town to go eat, and what's on your plate?
My second best would be this little hole in the wall restaurant. Oh, the name escapes me now. It's in Sellwood area. I know the dish that I like. It's called Mama Jean's. It's a pasta with spare ribs that just fall off the bone. It is fan Gino's. There it is. Gino's. Love it there.
Now, as someone who grew up in Oregon and seen a bunch of Blazer teams, how would you fix them now?
You know, well, me and you were talking a little bit about the Raiders before we got on the podcast and how Derek Carr had a run and kind of had his opportunity. And, you know, and I love Damian Lillard. I think I don't know him personally, but from what I understand, he's a fantastic leader and a good person. But that being said, it's been a long time. And I know this would probably be an unpopular decision, but I think it would be time to maybe trade him and maybe start from scratch, because the Blazers just seem to be tread, you know, they're just treading year in and year out, you know. So I just the current roster they have, I mean, I don't know who they're going to get to help them, you know. And we seem to have been doing that for what, 10 years. So that's my two thoughts.
At least now, do you think that Portland is ready for an expansion baseball team?
Yes, my God. Baseball, football, something. It's too big of a town, and I think it has too many avid sports fans to only have, you know, one. And I know, you know, people will say that we have the Timbers, and that's great and everything, but boy, I'll tell you, to have another one of the big three, basketball, baseball, football, I think would be fantastic, and I think it would be really popular.
Which one would you prefer, a football team or a basketball team? A football team or a baseball team?
Football for sure.
Dome or no dome?
Probably gonna have to go all out and have one of those domes that can open and shut, right?
Now, not being a Seahawks fan and just being in the Pacific Northwest, do you watch how Seahawks fans are, and what is it about Seahawks fans that people from other fan bases, I don't know, may not agree with?
I think they have a really a rabid fan base up there. You know, I actually went and watched the Raiders play the Seahawks last year and was just really impressed by the crowd and the loyalty, even though they, you know, they didn't have the best team, but boy, they were sure fun to watch a few years ago.
Who's your favorite Raider of all time?
Boy, that is a great question. Can I name two? Well, I love Kenny the Snake Stabler. He was kind of my idol, going back in the 70s during my formative years. That's when I really became a Raider fan. And I just loved their mentality back then. You know, they were just, you know, carefree, and they just, you know, known for their violence on defense. I mean, they were just so fun to root for, you know, as a kid. But my other guy would be Marcus Allen. I'll never forget that run he had against the Redskins, where he reverse field and basically Mike dropped those guys, man. He was an amazing running back.
Last question. Do you have faith in Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, the GM, being able to turn it around?
You know, I think Josh McDaniel, I mean, he obviously has an amazing pedigree being with Bill Belichick. You know, I mean, he should know the recipe for success, right? And I don't know much about the GM. I don't, you know, that's one thing as a college coach, you know, you're so busy on Sunday prepping for the next week that you really don't get to watch a lot of NFL football, you know, until the season's over. So, I think he's got a shot. I think only time will tell. You know, I couldn't give you an answer one way or the other right now.
Lewis and Clark College head football coach, Joe Bushman. Coach, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Terrence. I really enjoyed our conversations and the questions you asked.